Nation Radio. And here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, alongside with Joe Blewett. And we have so much to talk about tonight as we are inching. We're getting there. It's like a third and two going into the red zone here as we're almost to the beginning of the season with my corny cliches there as we are wrapping up the preseason this Thursday against the Philadelphia Eagles. And the New York Jets are slowly starting to get ready for the Oakland Raiders. There's so much to talk about tonight. We're going to start off talking about Geno Smith. I finally have seen something that's going to make me say, wow, this guy has really improved since last year. We saw the game against the Giants. We saw how Geno Smith looked. Every Jets fan had a smile on their face. We talk about Geno Smith. We talk about Dimitri Patterson being suspended for the preseason when there's one game left in 2 days. So it's really a two-day suspension for Dimitri Patterson. He will not play against the Philadelphia Eagles in the preseason week four, the most meaningless game of the year. We also talk about what we saw from the Jets' defense against the Giants. What did we think of the secondary? What did we think of the defensive line that looked a little shaky against the Giants' rushing attack? So much to talk about. Let's do it. 646-716-4697. Before we open it up, Joe, my man, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Brandon. I like what I've seen from the Giants team, and I'm ready for the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely was a great job by the Jets in the beginning of the game. You take away that drive at the end of the half, but that's textbook Eli Manning right there. He is so good at, you know, finishing late in the quarters, especially with the 2-minute offense. That's when he's at his best. The Jets were held captive to that. Other than that, the defense played fantastic. But the story of the game against the Giants, and the big story for the Jets is you found your guy. Geno Smith looked absolutely fantastic against the Giants. He was his presence in the pocket was so persistent. It was fantastic. You watched him drop back. You watched him throw bullets, extending drives, getting big first downs, the touchdown pass. I mean, he was all over the field. He looked good in the pocket, looked good under pressure. It was really, really amazing to see Geno Smith look like that if you're a Jets fan, because you're thinking, wow, look at the potential this guy has. You know, Eric Decker doesn't drop that touchdown pass, which was put right on him, right in between the letters. He just flat out dropped it. You know, you're looking at a 2-touchdown performance. Geno going 9-14 for .137, on pace to throw for almost over 300 yards in that game. So, I mean, it's fantastic. The Jets looked great on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, you know, you had to be concerned at times with the way they looked against the rush. That's their bread and butter, that defense. So that was something I was a little concerned about. But, Joe, Geno Smith looked fantastic. What did you like what you saw from him against the Giants?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think that he built on what he showed me in the Bengals game, but he did it even more so. You know, his footwork looked good. He went through the progressions. He was standing tall in the pocket. I think he missed a throw or two, but, you know, you'd expect that to happen. We're working out the kinks in preseason. But I think he looked very good. I'm happy. I'm not too nervous about him. Obviously, I have a little bit of nerves just because he's still in the second year as a quarterback. But mm-hmm. I definitely couldn't have asked for more than what I've seen in the Giants game. And you're right, Decker should have caught that. And even after that play, Sudfield had a good shot of getting that. So I definitely like what I see, and I'm excited for September 7th. So.
Yeah, you have to be excited now because you've finally seen some light from the quarterback. But let's go to our man, Keith. Keith is on hold. Keith wants to talk about Dimitri Patterson. Keith, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Jet Nation Radio. What's going on, fellas? Sorry I missed y'all last week. You know, I had a couple things, had a couple errands to run, you know. But, in my honest opinion, because I know we're so thin at corner. We're really thin there, but the guy doesn't seem to really want to be a part of the team. He doesn't seem to have any kind of dedication. I mean, even if something like – there was plenty of times where I had to leave work to come home because one of my daughters was sick or now right. that, you know, me and my girlfriend or wife, whatever, were expecting, you know what I mean, to have another child. So there's going to be times where things happen and I have to hurry up and But you have to call somebody, you know what I mean? If it's a co-worker or your boss, you have to have some kind of communication. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least show the company that, you know, you want to take care of your private life, but you're still interested in keeping your position at that job, you know?
I mean, there is absolutely no excuse for what took place with Dmitri Patterson over this weekend.
No.
You know, we live in 2014 where everybody can talk to anybody. You know, you're not dialing up your broadband internet or getting out your flip phone and calling people and trying to get – it's 2014. The technology and the way this world is built now, there's no excuse for an NFL football player to not communicate. With, you know, his coaches, his general manager. I mean, that's just a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. Go ahead, Keith.
Look at it this way. He was able to, what was that, text that worker, that reporter at ESPN. I hope I'm saying it right. But he was able to text her and let her know that, you know, I'm not going AWOL. I mean, everything is just comical. But how come you couldn't do that to your boss or your teammates that you share a locker room with? You could have been like, look, I have to do this and that, but can you let so-and-so know? You know, there's so many ways to communicate.
Oh, it's a joke.
So I'm thinking maybe, and it's a joke. That's why I'm thinking, even though I know, like on Twitter, I'm on there, and it's like I get so many different point of views and opinions. And I know we're so thin. We're like really desperate almost at that corner. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we have to let the guy go. I'd rather deal with what we have than deal with somebody that just does not want to be there. You know what I mean?
It's embarrassing too, you know. It's for the Jets. It's embarrassing. You're talking about a national, you know, an NFL player that's going AWOL. That's gone. You know, where did he go? It's amazing to me. I think you're right on, Keith. I think you're hitting the nail on that with this. And I think there's just no excuses to be made for it.
Yeah. See, I agree with both of you guys. I think that it's completely inexcusable for him to not even send a text when you can text that lady from ESPN kind of saying, like, oh, it's a joke that they even think that I'm missing. But, Keith, my question for you is, since I was going to ask you if you wanted to release Patterson, but since you already said that, I was wondering who you would want to start or who you think would start alongside Milner when he's healthy if Patterson is gone.
Oh, man, that's kind of – I don't know. I mean, I hate to say Kyle Wilson because he's really been a disappointment. Ever since we picked him up, he's been kind of – I mean, he's been showing flashes of doing something. But if we're really down to that point, maybe Kyle Wilson or maybe Langster, Ellis Langster, maybe we can throw him in there. You know,
Yeah, no, see, as of now, from what I'm hearing, at least from online and listening to all the interviews with Rex and stuff, as of right now, I think it seems that Darren Walls is going to start alongside of Milner if they move – well, that's if they move Allen back to his safety spot. But I think it would be Darren Walls as of right now because they're resting him for the Eagles game, they said. So how do you feel about Darren Walls starting alongside of Milner?
Well, that's good, but it all depends how fast, you know, Miller can heal up and get on that field. If he can play for us come week one, then that'll be pretty – I think that would be a pretty good set for both sides, at least for now, because we need something. And like I said before, I can't stress enough about, you know, Patterson. You know what I mean? Let him go, and, you know, we just try to put the best of what we have. And at the same token, we still got to look at free agency and see what's out there on the wires because, you know, teams are going to be cutting players and, you know, is it got to be on that phone, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so, Brandon, how do you feel about Darren Walls starting alongside D. Milner? I know that he had some problems with his penalties last year with pass interference, but from what everybody's saying, that he's really stepping up this offseason.
Keith, you've been following this. You've been following our show since we started, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe I was, yes.
You were one of the first guys that I called in. So you listen regularly week to week, correct?
Yeah, I do. I do try to get in. Sometimes I do it from my laptop. Sometimes I do it from my phone. It all depends where I am. Like, if I'm out and about, I got my phone. If I'm at home, I got my headphones on, and I'm talking.
The point I'm trying to make here, besides the fact that we appreciate you being a regular listener and caller to the show, that's first and foremost, you know, and I'm not the type of person that's going to sit here and say, I told you so. I'm not the type of person that's going to sit here and reiterate and repeat myself. But I said it from the beginning of training camp that this situation could develop into an even bigger disaster than what it was.
Yeah.
I said it from the beginning. Yeah. I'm going to say it again. We didn't go out and get anybody in free agency. The one guy we got is out, and nobody knows. There are reports on NFL that he's AWOL from the Jets. Nobody knows where he is. He's not showing up for anything. Milliner's injured. You know, the third-round pick who was injury-prone when you drafted him. You knew his injury problems. You were going to bank on an injury-prone rookie, and then you were going to bank on an injury, a guy who gets hurt every year, and now doesn't even stay by the team, who goes AWOL. The cornerback situation for the Jets is a mess. If you don't think the cornerback situation is a mess for the Jets, I really would invite you to tell me how it's not. 646-716-4697. If you think that Darren Walls being a starting cornerback for your team for week one is a good thing, then I would like for you to reevaluate what you're watching on your television, because it's just it's unbelievable. It's the Jets right now. They need to go out and they need to call any type of veterans that are out there.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't signed Asante Samuel yet. I have no idea why he's still sitting out there.
Well,
I mean, it's crazy.
I was reading something on Twitter where they were saying they did try to reach out to Asante Samuel, but I think he wasn't willing to take what they were offering. You know what I mean? And plus him being a vet, pretty much like how many years he's been playing, he's required a certain amount. And being that they haven't reached that goal, and you know how Isaac is, he's not going to go ahead and just, you know, throw money at people. You know what I mean? He has a plan, which I understand he has a plan to build for the future. He wants to win now, but his eye is really in the future. So that's why I can see why, you know, he's kind of
paying
attention.
I don't have an issue with building for the future. I really don't. I think the Jets are going in the right direction. I think the Jets are building for the future. But here's my problem. We're still sitting here going into a new season. Everybody's pumped up. Everybody wants to see the Jets be successful. Guess what? Woody Johnson wants to see people in the seats. You want to build for the future all you want. I'll say it again. I've said it a million times. The Jets are here, okay? The Jets are here to succeed. You're not in a market where people are going to sit around and wait for you to be good. We want results. We want them now. Does people have to be patient and understand that the GM has a plan? Absolutely. But when you make excuses about telling me about your plan and you don't go out and add anybody, and now this happens, you deserve criticism for it. And Keith, I want to thank you for the call.
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling in again.
Oh, no problem at all. Hey, I appreciate the work that you guys do. You know what I mean? Me, like I said before, I'm in Pittsburgh. I don't get a lot of Jets talk, a lot of Jets anything. You know what I mean? So that's why I say I'm dedicated to this show. I have my other shows that I listen to, like Mojo on TBS Radio. I listen to them because obviously Chris Moore and all them. But when it comes to Jets, I have to, you know what I mean, come to y'all guys. Y'all and also the Eric Allen that works over there with the, you know, New York Jets itself. So, you know, I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing, and it keeps me informed on, you know what I mean, what's important to me as far as my sports go, you know?
Keith, you are the man, my friend, and you have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. All right, guys. Let's go Jets.
That's right.
Go Jets.
Let's go to Josh, who wants to talk about surprises. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on, buddy?
I'm kind of mad right now because only one person responds when I actually text. Not really text, but, you know, tweet someone. So
who was that person?
You know what? I'm going to be a good Jets fan and actually gonna say this. I hate to say it. You actually punish another good analyst that I like a lot. And right now, on the phone right now, someone challenged me, anonymated me to the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I challenged Yatu and Courtney to the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Josh, I've already done the Ice Bucket Challenge.
I guess you had to do it again. I guess you had to do it again.
Josh, I want to know. I want to know who upset you. Who bashed an analyst? I need some details on that. That was a little vague. You hurt my feelings for a second there.
Look at your text. It's ASI420. I hit you up today.
Yeah, I seen that, Josh. I seen that Brandon didn't answer, but I believe I answered you. You know, Brandon is so busy. He's so
Josh,
busy with all of his thousands of followers.
It's only a joke. Hey, it's only was a joke, all right? Hey, you already accepted it, but who else didn't accept it? I hate to say it, the nice guy finished last. But anyway,
Josh, I retweeted you. I retweeted you.
Wait, hold on. Hold on for a second. I'm recording myself.
Josh, I gave you a nice retweet, and now you call and you try and upset me. And all right, Josh, what are your surprises? Go ahead, Josh.
Okay. By the way, great show. Anyway,
Josh, we can barely understand you, buddy. You got to fix your mic, or I gotta put you back on hold. All right, we're going to go to Glenn, who wants to talk about cornerbacks and Geno. Go ahead, Glenn.
How are we doing tonight, guys?
What's going on, Glenn?
What's up, Glenn?
I'll tell you what, this cornerback issue just will not go away. Every time you think, you know, whether it's good or bad, you think, let's just let the dust settle and see what happens, let the chips fall where they may. And every week it's something else. It's like they didn't sign the guy, you know, they didn't sign Flowers. And then everyone calms down a little. Milner gets hurt, and McDougal gets hurt. Everyone loses their mind. They calm down a little, and then Dimitri Patterson decides he doesn't want to show up to work. So everyone's got to lose their – and it's crazy. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. The season's not here yet, and it seems like for the last 2 months, we've been – every 2 weeks, something happens with the cornerbacks on this team. And – even the biggest optimist, you know, I'm an optimistic guy, and I've said all along, you know, me personally, I think Idzik's plan going into the season was kind of, all right, we drafted Milner to be a number one, we're going to treat him like a number one. Patterson's got some injury history, McDougal's got some injury history. Between the two of them, we can probably patch together a number two corner. And then you let Kyle Wilson and Walls and Langster, you let them round out your top corners. But now, the Milner injury, the McDougal injury, Patterson's apparently a head case now. And with what we're down to, I mean, I heard the question earlier. I think, for my money, it's Darren Walls. I think, just strictly on-field performance, he's your best number two. You know, he was the guy they called on last year when Milner struggled. And he wasn't great. He was better than Kyle Wilson. But based on, you know, looking at the guys they have left on the roster now, if they don't make a move, which honestly I don't see how they can. I mean, at some point, I mean, how bad does it have to get before you say, look, let's make this move? My concern, my biggest concern, is that they're standing pat with the expectation once Milner is able to, you know, I'm afraid they're going to rush him back. I think they're going to look at Milner and say, we'll get him back on the field at 80%. And then it's going to be a lingering thing that nags throughout the season, and you're going to have an up-and-down performance from him, and we're not going to know if is he the real deal or was it the ankle injury. I would honestly rather sit the guy the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Whatever it takes, don't put him out there until he's 100%. So I'd rather have him at 100% for 13 games than have him at 75% for 16 games. But I think the plan was Milner's going to be our one. We can do a combination of Patterson and McDougal to fill the two, and then we go from there. Obviously, things have gone south. There's not, you know, there's not an analyst in the world. There's not a fan in the world. You know, people get on Rex and Idzik for saying we're comfortable and we'll go with what we have. That's what everybody says. The Rams just lost their starting quarterback. They have a journeyman, Sean Hill, who's going to step in and try to save their season. And Jeff Fisher says we're just fine. No, you know, I mean, enough with that. Coaches are going to back their guys. What's he going to do, stand in front of the media and go, oh, my God, we're screwed. Our corners aren't up to the task. And then he's got to go in the locker room and look these guys in the face. I mean, you have to maintain a positive attitude. You got to believe in your guys. To me, Darren Walls is a mid-level corner. He will be no worse than what Antonio Cromartie was last year.
I think that's a stretch. That's a big time stretch. I mean, you're
as bad as Cromartie was last year.
Stop it. Stop. Come on. We're not. I'm not going to compare Darren Walls to Antonio Cromartie. Now we're getting crazy here.
Last year's performance. Did you watch the game last year?
See, I watched every single game. All right, hold on a second. I let everybody else talk. So we're still sitting here and we're talking about the corners again. It still falls on the general manager. This free agency was one of the biggest markets for corners in this free agency. The plan you just went through and that you just said about piecing together McDougal and Patterson to potentially be a number two cornerback together if you combine them, I mean, along with having Kyle Wilson, I mean, if that's really what they thought and that's really what they were sitting there scheming up together, then I don't even – that's ludicrous. The Jets looked at it from – this is how the Jets looked at it. They think that Dee Milliner is the number one guy who's going to step in, is going to take a guy, he's going to say, I'm covering you, that guy's out of the game. If they believe that and that's their plan, then let's see what happens and let's give Dee Milliner the benefit of the doubt. We're sitting here right before the season talking about a Dee Milliner – Darren Walls combination at cornerback. That, to me, is a disaster. If you don't think it is, when their Jets start getting lit up by these quarterbacks, when they go to Lambeau Field Week 2, when they play Peyton Manning, when they play Tom Brady, when they play Phillip Rivers, when they play Tom Brady again, if you think those guys are going to hold their own against those type of quarterbacks, you're nuts. You're nuts.
Yeah.
And what the Jets didn't do anything to improve it. Nothing. They didn't improve their secondary, their cornerback situation at all. They're banking on a rookie safety to come in and play like a superstar. They're banking on a second-year cornerback to come in and play like a superstar, and he's not even on the field. And they were banking on Dimitri Patterson to stay healthy, and he's not even getting in his car and driving to work in the morning. It's insane.
Yeah, see, I do agree with you, Brandon, that it was a weak effort to try to improve it. You know, getting McDougal was good, but he's injury prone, so that was kind of shaky. And Patterson, we all know what he is; he's a journeyman who gets injured all the time. But I do have to agree with Glenn in the fact that I don't think that it gets any worse than Cromartie was last year.
He was playing with a hip injury. Stop talking about why.
We're talking about the result. And he was atrocious. So to sit here and say that you think Darren Walls is going to be worse than what Antonio Cromartie was last year, he would have to try to be that bad.
You think
he would
Darren
have to forget
Walls
to come on the field. He could sit on the bench and be
Darren
as bad
Walls,
as Antonio Cromartie was.
Let me ask
was.
You a question, yes
he
or no.
Do you think
Darren Walls is capable to be a starting cornerback in the NFL?
A great one? No. But a
no.
capable one? Absolutely.
Do you think he's capable to be a starting cornerback, to line up outside another corner and start in the NFL? Do you think he's a capable starting cornerback?
It's a yes or no question.
That's a silly question. Anybody can line up. Now, if you want to ask me how he's going to perform, I think he will be a middle-of-the-road corner. He's not going to be a world beater. He's not going to be great. But I guarantee you he will not be as bad as Cromartie was last year. My concern, honestly, when you look at the fact that they were able to finish 8-8 despite Cromartie playing like a cripple,
right.
I'm worried about the 3, 4, and 5 spot. If Milliner is healthy and Walls is a middle-of-the-road guy, that's as good as, if not better than, what they had last year based on production. Calvin Pryor back there adds a little bit of speed and protects him against those deep balls that Cromartie got killed on. However, when you look at these number three and four receivers...
You're banking on mediocre players. That's what the Jets are banking on in the secondary.
Yes, and last year, they finished 8-8 with guys who were unable to perform at a mediocre level. Those guys were atrocious last year. They weren't middle of the road. They weren't bad. They were inexcusably horrible. They had to keep benching Milliner, and Cromartie was getting smoked deep all year long.
Yeah, I see where both of your points are coming from. I see Brandon's point that we didn't do enough, which I do agree we could have done some more. And I see Glenn's point that Walls can't be worse than Cromartie was last year because Cromartie was getting beat just about every other time he looked at the TV screen. I see what you guys are both saying, but I do agree with Brandon in the fact that I would definitely not – I don't feel completely comfortable going into the season
with Darren Walls as our starting corner. And Joe, you can answer it first. Let me ask you guys a question. Would you be more comfortable with Antonio Cromartie on a one-year, $2 million contract, what he got in Arizona, or Darren Walls right now? Who would you be more comfortable with as a fan watching play cornerback beside Dee Milliner right now?
Oh, yeah. See, no, I understand your point, and I would be more comfortable with Cromartie, but
right.
I don't think that was their plan for everybody to get injured. I know exactly what you're saying. I do think it was because of injury last year, maybe a little bit. I don't think he's going to be what he was in 2012, 2011.
It's the National Football League. You have to have depth.
But, see, the only thing about Cromartie is that if he is getting all these injuries, Cromartie was good when he was in his prime was because of his physicality. And if he can't be that physical anymore, then he's not the same player. But I do understand what you're saying. As of right now, I would love to have Cromartie on our team. And
yeah,
I do think that we're all going to have to wait and see what happens on Saturday at 4 o'clock and everybody gets cut. Because even guys like Terrell Thomas and, you know, guys like Samuel are out there. So we have to wait and give it time.
Right.
Because
so why aren't those guys
I really don't think our secondary could be any worse than it was last year. I really don't.
That's
but go ahead, Glenn. What was your answer?
It can't be any worse than it was last year?
Last year we had D. Milner getting beat every single play, and then we had
that's
on the other side Cromartie getting beat every single play.
Wait.
Okay, not every. Obviously, I understand not every single play, but our pass defense last year was atrocious. So if we have D. Milner, who's half of what he was at the end of last year, that's already an upgrade. If anything, we already have. We have Pryor, who's solid. We've all seen that he's solid. He wasn't as great against the Giants as he was against the Bengals.
Hold on.
Wait. I know, but that's still better. That's still better than an inexperienced Allen and Landry. We still have a first-round draft pick back there. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you're taking consideration how bad our secondary really was last year, and I think you're kind of...
They were 22nd in the league against the pass last year. 22nd in the league against the pass.
That's pretty bad, Brandon. I agree 100% with Joe. And here's the thing. It's not like I don't agree with what you're saying, that I do think Izik should have done more. I've said that from the get-go. I've said that on the forums. I've said that calling in. I wish Izik would have done more. However, I'm not going to blast him for not, you know, signing guys that didn't fit, signing guys with injury histories, signing guys that are,
guys with injury histories. He went down
I'm talking about big-name guys to huge contracts. If you want to sign a guy with an injury history to a million or two, I'm not going to complain about that. I'm not going to complain. But it seems like you're forgetting how bad they were last year in the secondary. That's my big thing right now.
Did Brandon Flowers get a big contract? Did Darrell Revis in New England get a big contract?
I think $12 million is pretty big.
Yeah, on a one-year basis, Glenn. On a one-year deal.
I know, but you know what? I see what you're saying, but we've kind of beaten this horse already. I don't think Woody Johnson was prepared to be made to look like an idiot again by the same guy who made him look like an idiot before. People are people, and at some point, pride is going to come into the equation. And when you have a guy who is your employee who tries to publicly humiliate you repeatedly, at some point as a man, you have to stand up and say, you know what, go embarrass somebody else.
Glenn, I agree with you. I don't disagree with the fact that they, and I'm not going to keep beating this dead horse, but again, we keep talking about it because what I've been saying the entire time has happened. You have it was D. Milner or bust coming into this year for the cornerbacks. You had one guy that everybody was banking on, and that was D. Milner. The rest were question marks. Now the question marks are collapsing, and it's collapsing before the season even starts. So where is your depth? You don't have any. Where is your plan B? You don't have any. Your plan B is Darren Walls and Kyle Wilson. With what was out there, the amount of money the Jets had, the amount of opportunity the Jets had to improve, they drafted an injury-prone rookie from Maryland in the third round, which I don't disagree with. Because guess what? If you go out and draft and get a solid free agent, if you bring a Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie or a Werner or even any type of corner that was out there, we could go through the list of them all. If you go out and bring one of those guys in here and you draft McDougal and McDougal goes down, we're not going to sit here and go crazy about it. Because guess why? You have another guy that can step in and play. The problem is they don't have that. They have nobody right now that can step on the field and play half-decent cornerback right now.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that, and that's my point. I think that, I'm not saying Darren Walls is Darrell Revis. I think he can be solid. And, again, solid is something they did not have for a lot of last
Glenn,
year.
Glenn, I really hope you're right.
I honestly hope that Izik makes a move. I get you know, he had a plan, and he's, you know, he's being stubborn, he's standing pat. But at some point, as like, okay, Milner gets hurt, well, he's going to stick to his guns. McDougal's hurt, he's going to stick to his guns. Patterson's banged up, he's going to stick to his guns. Now Patterson's banged up and not showing up to work. Like, how many dominoes have to fall before this guy says, well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing.
I agree with you.
I see what his plan was. Clearly, you know, Armageddon, like, worst case scenario has come to fruition.
Yep.
So now it's, I mean, I get the frustration. We're all Jet fans. This is driving all of us crazy. And you're saying there's not a plan B. I mean, there was a plan B, but now everyone's hurt. We're not playing. So now basically it's like, all right, John Idzik, what's your plan C and D? Like, what do you have to do something now? Unless,
but,
again, the alternative is bringing Milner back early and playing him hurt, which I don't like at all. Go out, trade a mid-level draft pick for a decent starter, and go from there. You know, we said Rex was going to have to earn his money last year. Last year was a cakewalk compared to what he's going to have to do this year with that schedule. We've all said week 2 through 7, they could realistically go winless. But if their corners just play solid, you know, I think, and this is something not a lot of people have talked about, but I think that with their personnel and with the quarterbacks they're facing, I think Rex is going to go back to a ground and pound. I think they're going to go deep more. I think they're going to. I think when they do throw, they're going to air it out more. You're not going to see a lot of the short intermediate stuff. But I think with Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell and that banged up secondary, they're going to run it 40 times a game, if not more. So
Glenn,
it's going to become another
ball. With you there. I think
all right,
you're right.
Guys, I'm going to let you go, get you next caller. Awesome, as always. Doing a great job. Keep it up. Thank you very
much. Glenn, thank you, and keep going on JetNation.com. You can check out Glenn's work. He writes for JetNation.com along with an avid man in the forums. Glenn, thank you so much. Great as always.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. That was Glenn, who was talking to us about, you know, corners and Geno Smith. And it's a never-ending subject. We talk about it every week because it's just – it's amazing what's happened. It really is. But let's go let's move topics and go back to talking about the offense from the preseason game. And, you know, and actually we check our Twitter here on Jet Nation Radio. Vinny LaTorraca sent us Joe's friend actually sent us a tweet that everyone needs to calm down. Walls is a stopgap corner and will be solid with Rex calling the plays and giving him help. I don't know if he's going to be solid, but I really like the term stopgap corner in talking about Darren Walls. I think he can definitely do that to get when Dimitri Patterson, you know, finally gets his head together and gets on the field. I think that's a good terminology to talk about Darren Walls. Solid, I don't think so. Stopgap corner, I think that's a perfect terminology. Let's go to Gina, who wants to talk about the offense. Gina, go ahead.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. You know, I just wanted to talk about, you know, these Jets in the secondary. You know, the word is out. Nobody's going to try to run the ball on us because they know they can't. So the teams are just going to – they're just going to throw it down our throats just like Dawson did and who, by the way, they made look like Joe Montana. We're going to get scored on. I mean, and that's just the fact because that front seven can't rush the passer every play. So for me, I'm thinking that the onus now is going to have to be on the offense. That might be our only shot. We got to score 25 points a game, and I just don't know if we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think you're right on target. The Jets' offense looked much – I have to say, I was not – my expectations were exceeded in the preseason game against the Giants with the offense. They were moving the ball well. They were running the ball well. Geno Smith looked great, and his potential just keeps going on the rise. The way he was hitting his receivers, the way he already looked in sync with Eric Decker, I think Geno Smith looks fantastic from where he was. You know, like they say, he looks light years ahead of where he was last year. I still believe in Geno Smith. I always did.
You know, I really do have a lot of confidence in the offense, but I just don't know if we're going to be able to. The only way that we're going to sustain anything is to continually each week score 25 points a game.
I think this defense, I am a big time, you know, I like to critique the Jets defense, and I, you know, everybody knows how critical I am of the secondary, but I still am a fan of one man, and that man is Rex Ryan. I think he is a fantastic head coach. I think he's one of the best defensive coaches in the league. As much as I get on the secondary, as much as I get on the, you know, not adding cornerbacks, Rex Ryan knows how to piece it together with a defense and make things happen. I don't think this Jets team and a Rex Ryan Jets defense will give up 25 points a game. I don't. I think he's going to be able to coach up these new guys. He's going to put a scheme together. They looked good against the Giants defensively. I think that Rex has a plan in store, and I still believe in Rex Ryan as a coach for this team, especially defensively. I think he's going to be able to turn it around on the defensive side of the ball because that's his bread and butter. If the Jets defense perform and the Jets defense
I get that, but you know what? You can't get water from a stone. I mean, it is what it is. We don't have anybody back there. I mean, so I just think that we're going to have to score in order to win a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jets are going to have to do that, but go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I see your point where you say that we're going to have to score 25 points a game. I don't think it's going to necessarily have to be 25 points a game because that's a pretty potent offense. I think that this year we're going to be a middle-of-the-pack offense from what I've seen so far, and that's going to take pressure off our defense because the last couple of years it seemed like our defense was on the field for three quarters out of the four quarters of the game. So I do agree with what you're saying there, but 25 points is a little high for us to score. But
well,
I definitely
it's
do think
high,
I,
but if we want to get into the playoffs, you're going to have to score like that. We're not going to get into the playoffs scoring 15 points a game.
Think about it. How many points do you think we scored last year? Some are probably maybe 16, 17, and we were pretty close to getting in the playoffs. So I think that getting Chris Johnson, you know, our line has looked better with Brian Winters getting more experience, and I think getting Breno was a solid move to replace Austin Howard because he's a road grader. I think that our running game is going to be potent. I think that our offensive drives are going to be nice and slow, and it's going to give our defense rest. I don't think I still agree with Glenn, our last caller, that I really don't think that Darren Wallace could do worse than Antonio Cromartie, especially adding Pryor and Allen with another year of development. I think that our secondary will be better than last year. So I think we're going to be a top 10 defense again. But that's how I feel about that. So
okay, well I guess we'll see, right? And then this guy's supposed to be coming back September 1st. I mean, come on. I mean, is he really going to show up? He hasn't shown up all preseason. You think he's going to show up on Labor Day?
Yeah,
seriously.
Exactly.
Of all days, Labor Day.
He's gonna be out partying with the Browns backup quarterback Johnny Manziel soon. But I do agree. You know, we're gonna see what happens. We have until next Sunday to see how this all turns out. We got a tough stretch. If we can make it through those first seven games, you know, three and four, 4-3, I think we're in a solid spot going against, you know, like even though we had problems with the Titans and the Steelers, we're gonna be in a solid spot if we can just stick it out through those first couple of games.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks, fellas, for listening. But that's a really, really big if. But thanks for listening.
Hey, Gina,
have
thank
a good
you
night.
Very much for
You're
the call.
Welcome.
I appreciate it.
All righty.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much.
It's always nice to have first-time callers here on Jet Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the preseason game against the Giants. We're going to look ahead to seeing what to expect, if anything, in the preseason game against the Eagles. And then we start getting ready for what's going to be next week. We start getting ready for week one of the season. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Then the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling,
and the home of the Jets.
And we are back here on Jet Nation Radio. Everybody's pumped up. First time callers, weekly callers. Jet Nation Radio is always on every Tuesday at 8. Me and Joe bringing you all the latest in New York Jets talk. And also, the talk doesn't stop here. Check us out at JetNation.com. You can listen to replays of this show anywhere on your mobile devices, tablets, iPads, whatever kind of device you have at home. And also, check out JetNation.com. If you want to keep talking football, you want to dive into this cornerback situation, you want to talk about how impressed with you were with Geno Smith, check out the JetNation.com forums. I was getting all of my news up to date through the weekend about Dimitri Patterson and also the recaps against the Giants, all on JetNation.com. All right, Joe. Last preseason game, what do we expect, if anything?
You don't expect too much. You're going to want to see who stands out. You're going to want to see guys like, you know, many Jets fans have liked Rontez Miles. You're going to want to see guys like Eads. You're going to want to see if Jeremiah George steps up and takes that spot from him. The fourth game is basically for the diehard Jets fans who want to see who's going to make the bottom of the roster and who's going to make the practice squad. There's a couple of guys who need to step up. For example, a la Stephen Hill, who really needs to step up. But I think as of right now that his spot should be in jeopardy to guys like Greg Salas and guys who kind of came out of nowhere. We all know about his speed, and he had two carries on like end arounds last year. But Salim Hakeem seems to have locked down the kick returning spot for the season as of right now. So we're gonna need to see the guys on the bottom of the depth chart step up.
Now, Joe, this is something that no one's really been talking about, and this is, you know, again something that I have seen that kind of brought to my attention. Matt Sims did not look too shabby against the Giants in the preseason game. Moved the ball, you know, pretty well, had a nice touchdown pass to Salas. Do you think that there is any chance, if any chance at all, that Matt Sims could beat out Michael Vick for the backup role on this team?
Oh, no, I didn't know. There's no way. Matt Sims, it's obviously it's not easy, but it's not too hard to stand out against second and third string. Michael Vick is a proven quarterback. There's no way that Matt Sims would even have a chance at that. Michael Vick knows the offense. He knows Mornhuweg. There's absolutely no way. I know a lot of Jets fans are upset with obsessed with Matt Sims and that he could be great, but I have some news for you. He's not great.
There's nothing to be obsessed with. I'm just looking at it from, you know, what we saw out of Michael Vick and what we saw out of Matt Sims. You know, Matt Sims is definitely playing to keep himself a spot on this roster, whether it be the third quarterback or whether they decide to even carry four quarterbacks. Who do you think is going to, you know, make any surprises on who's going to get cut going into the final cuts as well?
But like I said last week, I think Stephen Hill could be surprised. There's some surprises. Like, I don't think our fifth-round pick as of right now is going to make the team, Jeremiah George. I think a guy like A.J. Edwards is going to make the team. But not surprises. I don't think any guys like Kendrick Ellis or any or Powell are going to get cut or anything like that. But for the quarterback situation, I definitely think that Matt Sims is going to be our third-string corner. Quarterback. I don't think that Taj Boyd even has a chance. A lot of Jets fans seen him against the Bengals, and he just looked absolutely terrible. But I think a lot of Jets fans in this next preseason game are going to be watching positions like running back to see if Darrell Richardson steps up and deserves a spot. Some other interesting positions that we're going to have to watch closely are going to be the linebacker spot. I think we have a lot of depth in the linebacker spot. You know, you want to see if IK is going to make it over guys like Garrett McIntyre or people like that. And I think another position to watch is safety and even corner, because I know we're at a tough spot at corner, but guys like Laquan Lewis, who's been basically a journeyman his whole life. He's been on a whole bunch of teams in his very short career. We're going to have to watch the bottom of the depth chart on Thursday.
Now, what do you make of Stephen Hill getting talking about trade rumors today?
See, I think you know how I feel about Stephen Hill. I don't. You can't teach hands. The guy is. His routes have slightly improved over two, almost 3 years with running routes, which really isn't impressive. He can't catch the ball. I don't care if he's 6'5", you can run a 4.36 or whatever it may be. If you can't catch the ball, you can't catch the ball. I feel like he doesn't have that drive. He doesn't have that passion to want to be great. And I think that if we can get a 6th to 7th round pick for him, then take it, because I think guys like Salim Hakeem, who could stand out on special teams, and guys like Greg Salas deserve the spot. Greg Salas is a nothing but impressed most Jets fans this preseason and in the training camp. He's been stepping up to give a guy like Stephen Hill, who's just stone hands over there, he doesn't deserve a spot. So if we could take anything for him, go ahead, take it. I would gladly accept a 7th-round pick for Stephen Hill as of right now.
I don't know if you would take a 7th-round pick for Stephen Hill.
Brandon, as of right now, I think we could, or maybe even we can trade him for a guy like Jonathan Joseph or somebody like that. But as of right now, I know a lot of Jets fans listen to the press conference every day, and I listened as well earlier today. And as it sounds right now, Rex Ryan didn't sound too pleased with Stephen Hill, and he was talking a lot about how Greg Salas and Salim Hakeem provide a lot of special teams. They provide a lot on special teams, so they have good chances of making the roster because of their special teams. Because a lot of the receivers, you know, the 5th, the 6th string, even the 7th string, depending on what team you're at, or if we carry 7, a lot of those guys on the bottom of the depth chart are going to have to kiss up to Thomas McGahee and want to make the team for special teams. So if a guy like Stephen Hill, who can't catch the ball and he can't do anything on special teams, why is he on the team?
Well, I agree with you there, but I one guy that stands out to me that I really like is Greg Salas. I think he had a nice touchdown catch from Matt Sims. He's shown signs that he could be a good inside receiver for the Jets, and I really hope that he's someone that makes the team. What do you think about him?
Greg Salas?
Yes.
Yeah, Greg. Yeah, he exactly. I went to a couple of training camps this year before I was on the show, and he looks solid. He looks like he tries every play. If he does drop a ball, he runs back to the huddle. He looks like he really wants to be on the team. And guys like Stephen Hill, who don't want to be on the team, even guys like Dimitri Patterson, who don't show up, supposedly, I'm not saying this is the reason, but supposedly it's because he wasn't happy with the depth chart and where he was on the depth chart. But if you're not showing up and if you're injured all the time, why do you have something to complain about? You know, so I want guys like Greg Salas who want to be on this team and who will try hard every play, even if it's 1-2 plays a game or on special teams. So I like Greg Salas, and I think he deserves the 5th or 6th spot on this team.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I think that he could really make an impact down the road for the Jets. Now, as we approach this game, you know, as we look on the other side of the former Jet Mark Sanchez, who I was very disappointed to hear will not be playing in the preseason game against the Jets, this is going to be one of those games where everybody's sitting there and everybody's, you know, getting ready. They're done with preseason. You're done with practice. You just want to get to the action. You just want to get to football. You want to get to week one. The Jets right now, to me, what I want to see is depth guys who can come out and that can show that you can make plays. Show that you can come out and show that you can, you know, make this team and prove to everybody that you want to do that. We're going to take one quick break. We got 10 minutes left in the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about last tidbits for the preseason game and start looking ahead to the Oakland Raiders. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it?
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Then the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling,
and the home of the Jets.
And we are back on Jet Nation Radio. And before we wrap it up, we do have 5 minutes left in the show. Call lines open, 646-716-4697. We look towards the last preseason game. We wrap up a training camp and an offseason with, you know, the Jets made some great moves. They've added some great players. They've done some questionable things, as does every team in the offseason. One thing that I did like, Joe, that I want to talk about again is Geno Smith. Geno Smith looked fantastic against the Giants. Looked like he is, again, light years ahead of where he was last year. But another thing I really, really that I was impressed with about Geno Smith was how he and Eric Decker looked right off the bat. You know, they seemed like they were in sync on their routes. They seemed like they had a very good chemistry going. And, you know, without that touchdown being dropped, that was a really perfect night for those two.
Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying. We've been seeing a lot from Eric Decker. He didn't play against the Bengals, but even in the first preseason game against the Colts, I know he didn't blow up the stat line. But him and Geno definitely look to have a good chemistry. They look like they're coming together solidly. But another guy who stepped up who everybody was saying he's stone hands. He can't run routes. He can't grasp the offense. I mean, an NFL offense coming from Texas Tech. But a guy like Jace Amaro
yep.
has stepped up the last couple of games. He had the first catch of the game. I know he didn't blow up the stat line either. I think he had like three or four catches for almost 40 yards, which is solid for only playing the time that he did. But our receiver core is definitely rounding out. We're seeing guys like Amaro, guys like Chris Johnson, guys like Decker. But a question I want to ask you, Brandon, is how do you feel about the running game? I know a lot of Jets fans are pumped about that. You know, Chris Johnson and Ivory blew it up last game. They were running all over the place. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from the running game the last couple of weeks.
There's one word to describe the running game for the Jets right now, and that's exciting. I think the Jets have such if they've done one thing 100% right this offseason, it's the running game. They've built a dynamic duo with Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory and throwing a little Bilal Powell, and they have the perfect – they might have the best running attack in the NFL. The way that they're set up, the chemistry that these guys are showing, the chemistry they have with Geno in the running game and in this system, I mean, these guys look fantastic, especially Chris Johnson. You saw Chris Johnson on that screen take the ball in space. That's what he can do for this team. That's what the Jets were missing last year. That's why John Idzik brought him in here. Get the ball in space and go. He did that against the Giants. He looked great. The running game looked great. Geno Smith looked great. The wide receivers looked great. The tight ends looked great. It was an all-around pretty offense against
yeah.
the Giants.
And we haven't even seen the full offense because we haven't seen – he's not a huge piece to our offense, but we haven't seen guys like Jeff Cumberland in these games.
Right.
You know, I do agree with you. I think that we definitely do have a shot to be the best running team because last year we were almost there. And then, you know, adding a guy like Chris Johnson, having Bilal Powell rested and ready to go every single time he comes in along
yep.
with our offensive line, it has looked good. I don't think in the last 2 weeks that Geno's got sacked.
It's great.
The quarterbacks have been standing there all day, and Geno's going through his progressions, and I think the offense and having receivers like Amaro, even though he's unproven, but he looks solid so far, having guys like Decker is only going to open up our offense, because if you watched games in previous years, you were used to seeing seven, eight guys in the box just knowing we're going to run it because we couldn't pass it. You can just lock up one-on-one with our receivers, and our receivers weren't going to get open because you had guys like Holmes and guys like, you know, I'm praising them before Salah starting. So we have depth this year. We have our offense is actually going to be, I believe, in the middle of the pack, which is all we need with our defense. I know our secondary is unproven, but I think we're gonna figure out something.
I really
but a question
think
I want
this
to
offense
ask,
has potential to be better than middle of the pack. I really do. I was so
yeah.
taken back with how they looked against the Giants that they can put up points on the board. I think that the Jets offense right now, this is the most I've been impressed with them in a long time. And take it for what you leave it. Take it for what you leave it being a preseason game, but you see a quarterback that had time, was waiting for receivers to develop routes down the field, waiting for guys to get open. He was not checking the ball down. He was moving the ball with big plays, handing it off to his running back and getting big chunks of yards. We haven't seen an offense play like this in a long time.
Exactly. See, that's the question I was going to ask you. When's the last time you felt this comfortable? I know, Geno, it's preseason. People are probably going to get on me. Oh, it's preseason. But when have you felt this comfortable about a quarterback since Chad Pennington?
Preseason or not, Geno
exactly.
Smith has impressed me. He really has.
And another point I want to throw in here before we end, we only got a couple more minutes, but
yep.
Greg Salas is 6'1", so I don't think he's going to be deemed to the slot receiver or slot receiver role. I think he could step up and play outside. But a question I want to ask you is about the linebackers. Who do you see other than, you know, Barnes is probably going to be on PUP, or we're not too sure. We know guys like Babb and Copels and Pates are going to be there. But
right.
if we have one or two more guys, who do you think is going to be there? Because we have guys like IK, guys like Riley, guys like
playing as well.
Yeah, there's guys like McGinty who's always been solid. He never stepped up and made any huge plays ever, but he's always there. He always does a solid job. But how do you feel about the linebacker core rounding out? Like how many people do you think we carry? including middle linebackers.
I think the Jets are going to carry a boatload of linebackers. I think they love having depth. They love having, you know, rotating guys in, getting fresh legs to get after the quarterback, getting fresh legs to stop the run. I really like the way the Jets – you know, outside of the secondary, I'm very comfortable with this roster to this point in time. I think there's – obviously there's room for improvement. There's room for improvement everywhere. But the Jets have done a good job with the way their offense looks right now. You have to be – you know, as negative as people think I am, I'm one of the positive Jets fans you'll ever talk to in your entire life, because I look at it from this point of view. If Geno Smith plays like he did against the Giants, and Geno Smith is getting back in the pocket and taking hits and completing passes down the field and moving the ball, this is going to be a good football team, and this is going to be a team with potential. So with that being said, I think the linebackers, they're going to carry a lot of linebackers to keep everybody fresh, to keep everybody going. I think the Jets' offense looks stellar against the Giants. Their defense their defensive backfield is still suspect. I think it remains to be seen. I'm pumped up to preseason's ending. I'm pumped up for the season. I'm so pumped up, I'm going to go talk about it on the JetNation.com forums and connect with everybody out there on Twitter. I want to thank everybody for tuning in out there. Go ahead, Joe. We'll close it out.
Oh yeah, exactly. I am very pumped up. We know we haven't seen a potent offense since like I said before, Pennington. So we haven't seen it in years and years. And going into a season from what we've seen in the preseason, I'm definitely pumped up. I'm excited to see what Decker can do and some of the new additions can do on offense, and to see what happens in the secondary. But I don't want people to forget. You can find continue the conversation in the forums and JetNation.com. You can also find me on Twitter at JoeRB31. And go ahead, Brandon, take it away.
All right, Joe, and that's another show in the books. Next week, the fun starts. The fun starts because next week we break down week one of the regular season. Me and Joe are going to pick the games. We're going to pick the Jets game, of course. We're going to pick the football games. We're going to break it down on every side of the ball. We're going to just dissect this game, and we're going to talk about who wins and why. This is where we're getting to the core fun here on Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our callers out there. I want to thank our first-time caller, Gina, for calling in, and I will see everybody next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Jet Nation Radio.